There's lots of clubs and different kinds of memberships you can have, right? Different kinds of things. So how about naming a club or an organization you belong to? Just
Garden Club,
excellent. Another one.
Sir
Optimus, right. Let's hear it for the Sir Optimists. Another.
D-A-R,
excellent. Thank you, Joan.
Eastern Star,
good. Yes.
A-A.
What's that?
Lower Township Rotary.
Lower Township Rotary, good. Rebecca?
A-A.
A-A, excellent.
Yacht Club.
Yacht Club, good. What else we got?
Beach Club. Kiwanis Club.
Kiwanis, good.
Beach Club.
Beach Club?
Tennis
yeah.
Club.
Tennis Club. See, Marge, if you have any other, want to get any other ideas for joining, because she is the joiner. Dave? Cold Spring Church, excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Remember to give you that 20 afterwards because that was absolutely the right one to answer. Any AARP members? Yeah, sure, we are. Any, yes, you got one?
Retired Teachers of New York get together.
Nice. Retired Teachers of New York. Thank you for your service. That sounds great. Anybody else have a club or a group or some other kind of association? Reading Club, good.
4-H,
excellent. We have any bowlers? How about any people in the drafts? You know, picking your favorite team, joining DraftKings. You have any bets on the game? No, you're not doing that. All right, no hands go up. That's fine. Perfectly got that. So we have lots of different associations. Did you know that after World War II, in the 1940s, that there grew almost every month another 100 volunteer associations in the United States. Every single month. People were so engaged with, first of all, it's a huge high, although with terrible payment for this win of World War II. Certainly costs were paid. But the motivation and the enthusiasm and the energy of the returning GIs, we had the GI Bill, we had the highways finally being done. We had all sorts of energy in the schools. We had new ways of teaching, cars to get around. We had special financing for people to build homes, usually outside the city and in the suburbs. But we had so many resources all around us. And back in the 50s and the 60s, that our churches were at an all-time high of attendance. And we have not exceeded that time since about 1969 was the peak in the United States for all church attendance. But it was the same true for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the Kiwanis and the Lions and the Rotary. Maybe even true for the DAR. That back in the 60s and the 70s, there was sort of a peak energy when a lot of churches built parking lots and lots of churches expanded. And it was not dissimilar to when Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And it was so exciting, there was such energy that Peter says, you know what, we want to stay here forever. Well, we're going to put up some tents and we'll call a couple builders over and maybe we can just have a little lodge up here on the mountain because we love being with you. We love getting our selfies taken with you. We love the fantastic things you do for us. We want this to go on forever. And Jesus says, don't you get it? We can't possibly just stay in our own little group and hang out here forever. That there are needs right at the bottom of our hill. There are people clamoring for help, people deserving of attention, people that need to be heard, the things that need to get done. If following me isn't just sitting up here on the mountain and kind of, I don't know, relaxing, while the rest of the world remains under-resourced. And so in the United States, there just came a time when our volunteer groups, like faith communities, like churches, began to get a little tired, and they began focusing so much on their own operations that they forgot almost the reason they were created to begin with. When you think about these groups that we mentioned right now, what does it cost to be a member? Like to be part, did you know that you guys could join the Wildlife Association of the United States? You know what it costs you to do that? About 25 bucks a year. Yeah, they'll send you a little membership card and everything. How about to become a member of the AARP? Huh? How hard is that? All right, I've been receiving solicitations from the AARP since I turned 17. And it's like, get your discounts now, become a member today. You'll be grateful, you know, when you get older. Every year I get the fine. I wonder how many 18-year-olds are members of the AARP. Because it's just so easy to join. And when you join, all you have to do is say, yes, I want to be a member. You hardly have to do anything. It's some nominal, $25 or something. And they put you on the mailing list that never ends. It's the world's longest mailing. And it's good stuff you get. You know, you get the magazine every month, you get discounts, and you get emails from all the other people around the world that want to sell things to you. And so to join something like AARP really doesn't cost much. It does good, but the threshold of entry is pretty low. Well, contrast that with, like, for instance, what does it cost to be a member of Cold Spring Church? What's the fee this year? I know we have a Groupon going on. I know there's some discounts on Facebook, but what is it actually? If you want to say, you know what, I've been coming to Cold Spring Church just for months now. I've been coming to Cold Spring Church for years now. Or I've been coming to Cold Spring Church for a couple days now. And I want to join. I want to be part of that. I want to let people know I want to be a part of that. I want to invest my time, energy, and attention in what God's doing at Cold Spring Church. I want to join. Now, first of all, you don't have to join to do any of that. You don't have to join to invest your time in worship. You don't have to enjoy to invest your energy on a team or on a committee or to volunteer to help out with our annual picnic. You don't have to do anything special to give of your resources and attention to pray for the church, to pray for the pastor, to pray for our session, to pray for our deacons, to pray for the people who gather and who are gathered together on our prayer list. You could do all of that without being a member. But if you're a member, and when you're a member, you're able simply to say publicly, I want to be part of that, sort of officially. I want to let people know I want to give my time, energy, and attention. Again, it's not required. But again, what's the cost for that? It's zero, right? We don't send you bills. There's no membership fee. You don't have to have your selfie taken with me. You don't have to show up at every worship service. You don't have to stand up straight when you sing. In fact, you don't have to stand at all when everybody else is standing. You can actually sit whenever you like. And you can actually stand whenever you like. Let's hear it for the standers. You can sit in the balcony, no extra charge. And there's seats up front, the privileged seats up front. Well, they're just open. And if you would like to sit here, you can do that. There's no premium seating here in Cold Spring Church. So Jesus, on this afternoon, when he was followed by thousands of people that were clamoring, oh, I want to get my picture taken with Jesus. He just healed my mother-in-law. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus is in town. Let's go. Maybe he can help my friend who can't walk. Oh, Jesus, I'm having some issues in my life. I really need some wisdom. I need some insight so I can lead my very best life. I don't know whether to go to fishing school or whether I want to be a carpenter like you. I need some wisdom to make better choices so I know which school to go to or whether I really do need to do homework to get ahead. Jesus, I'm sick today. I really would love it. Would you just heal me? I'm just feeling a little down today. My emotions are just not quite what they're used to. I'm sort of beside myself. I'd really rather feel better as I did a few weeks ago. Oh, God, that's a great idea. I should eat better and go to bed on time. I should spend more time with others who have similar values and we could do things in the community instead of just thinking the world owes me something. And so people all around Jesus were clamoring for his attention. Everywhere he went, hundreds and hundreds of people. Me and Jesus. And so what was Jesus thinking when he said, if you don't hate your mother and father, your brothers and sisters, everyone else in your life that you have an emotional connection to, if you don't love me more than them, you have no right to be my disciple. Now, first of all, Jesus is not saying we need to hate our mom and dad. And he's not saying that I should hate you to follow Jesus. No. It's what you might call a messianic hyperbole. It's a literary construction. It's like everything else in God's word. We need to look at God's word for the plain sense of the language. What does it say? Jesus says, if you don't hate some people, you have no right to be my disciple. What would be another way of saying that without the hyperbole? You just need to love me more. You know, as much as we want to love each other, we don't need to hate anybody to show how much we love each other. That would be like comparing, you know, well, I don't really want to love you at all, so I'm just going to love other people less, and then sort of I'm loving you more. No, it's we need to love Jesus more. And by comparison, hyperbole, is that essentially God has to be first in our life. How do you do that? You don't do it by hating your mom and dad. And you don't do it by hating your friends. And when I want to show Melissa my love, I can't say, well, at least I'm hating other people more. That doesn't make sense. It has to be things that make sense to the person. Jesus makes sense to Jesus. How do you show me that you love me in your own unique way? How do you do that? Thank you for that. But he also says that you have to take up your cross and follow me. Well, that's not a very good membership slogan. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Then you can be my disciple. But what does he mean by that? And this is before Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins, to make the way possible for us to lead our very best life, to have eternal life, to have forgiveness for our sins, and to be able to have confidence in every day in our life experience. So it's before the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross. Well, you know, the only crosses around in Jesus' day were ones where people were put on to die. Jesus was not the first crucifixion back in the first century. And so the cross was sort of a symbol of taking responsibility for your sins. That people that were on the cross, not always, of course, and Jesus is a case in point, but usually people would deserve that as their judicial system went back then. And so Jesus is reminding us, just take responsibility for your life. Don't think you're a victim. Don't blame other people for where you are. Take up your cross. Be responsible. You need to do that if you're going to follow me. And then membership slogan number 3, also, by the way, give away all your possessions. Just give them all away and follow me. And as much as this recitation of all the requirements for discipleship membership, following Jesus, to be in Jesus' club, as tough as that is, giving away our possessions, I actually think the hardest thing is not to have a rightful perspective and priority on the possessions that we have and not let any of them get ahead of us in making good choices in our life. But the hardest one is really just showing God our time, energy, and attention. That's the hardest thing. And so Jesus, in this passage, in his membership speech, is saying, you know what, to follow me, actually, you got to take that seriously. You just don't need to send a $25 check to AARP and then carry the little membership card in your wallet. That there's something more that's required. And what is it? Time? Energy, attention, showing in your life, in my life, how God is the priority in our life. And do it in ways that God would understand. Do it in ways that make sense for us. Take responsibility for your life and make sure your possessions do not take over your life. That a rightly living person who follows Jesus isn't someone who just sits on a mountain and says, isn't it great to be with Jesus today? That person says, it's great to be with Jesus today. Now, what can I do? Well, who can I help? Who can I learn from? Who should I pay attention to? God, show me, where are the needs around me that I can help meet? And be able to say, I need help. To be able to say to a friend, you know what, I could really use some help with that. Because in the community of faith, we are all sisters and brothers in Christ, and all of us whether we're technically a member of Cold Spring Church or just participating as a person at Cold Spring Church, that all of us have an opportunity to follow Jesus in the way that God has invited us to do. And so Jesus uses the analogy of a person who builds a house or a tower. And what person among you would decide to build it without having the resources to finish it? You know, Cold Spring Church, some years ago, we've made a commitment and have kept to it as in our transformational path that we are going to have increasing more impact on this community, that we're going to grow, that we're going to realize God's blessings and make sure all of this area of Cape May knows about it, that God has blessed us to be a blessing. And this journey continues. So Jesus says, if you've begun this path, make sure that you finish it. Or an analogy with a king. Says, a king, you know, they're smart people. Royalty, leaders of nations, leaders of towns, leaders of organizations, smart people. So when they consider whether they should do this or that, they sit down, they think about it. They just don't go hurried off and just try to say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then in the end, they end up meeting obstacles they can't meet or overcome. And so Jesus is reminding us as we follow him to take it seriously. But the really good news is that actually Jesus is talking about himself. See, it's Jesus that's called you. It's Jesus that says, I want you to be my disciple. You say, oh, whoa, I don't know, that possession thing. Oh, I don't know. I have to show, give you my time, energy, and attention. That's pretty tough. Jesus says, yeah, I know it is. But I want you to do that because Jesus is the one that went to the cross to make the way possible. Jesus says, I'm the one building the tower. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is in the building business. Jesus is in the ministry business. And Jesus has counted all of us on his team. And Jesus will get the job done. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying just hours before he was hanging for us and rising again from the dead for us. He says in his prayer, he says, Dear God, Father in heaven, everything you have given me to do, I have done. When's the last day you said that at the end of your day? Not very often. Jesus has done it all. All the work of Christ has been done. And so we are his tower. We are his team. We are his representation here. And he says, I've got my team and I'm going to finish it. The Apostle Paul said, and what God has begun, this good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ's return. That's our confidence today. So before we build our day, before we build our life, before we think about all the things that we have charted us to do as a congregation, the projects that we have unfolding, the fall that's just filled with wonderful opportunities to serve and to grow and learn. Let's remember that although we need to make plans and stick to the plan, God is the one who has the plan, and he's sticking to us. Let us pray.